Why don't you open your Bibles to Psalm 92. I was at Wednesday or Sunday, I had mentioned that Snapchat is bringing AI to our children. And then another thing I read was that there are, and I don't know what the position is, there are teachers' organizations that are now, and I think they've written a book about it, teachers' organizations that are looking to bring AI into the classroom to start teaching our kids through AI. Especially we're going to be in the Psalms, we're going to be in a reminder that shouldn't bring fear to us or to the church. Look, without getting too far into it, they want Wi-Fi for everybody. They have AI. Ultimately, our government and the government that is to come, certainly under the Antichrist, is going to be using these things to track everybody. Remember, they're going to be able to say who buys and sells. It'll be according to the number of a man. And it's already being played out in China, just so you know. It's being developed in China, the social credit system. And so that's where all of this is going. And I guess I'll start with it because I'm going to end with it. Things are going to get bad, but we don't have to be concerned about these things because they're not going to be as bad as when the Antichrist comes on the scene, because Christ has a plan for his church. And how exciting is it to live? Consider that for a minute. That we have been called by God. It was by God's sovereign authority that you and I are here during this time. Pretty wild to see this all come together to fruition. Man's attempt at governing himself, and it's falling apart. In the beginning, there was one government. It was a theocracy. God ruled over his creation, then sin entered in, and then there were two governance. There was God's governance and man's governance, and man's governance is failing. And the reality is that God has made a way to come under his authority because you and I were created eternally, not temporally. And so just keep that in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just lift this time up to you, and that, Lord, we would recognize your goodness and your mercy. Lord, that we would acknowledge that we, Lord, that you have chosen to have us alive, to be living during these times at such a time as this, Lord. And we have a message. It's not a message of fear. It's not a message of rebellion, Lord. It's a message that you love the lost, the sinner. And you came, Lord, to reconcile mankind to yourself. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would use us, even as we see that teach us to number our days that we might seek wisdom. And teach us to number our days that we might impart wisdom to those around us, Lord. So speak to us through your word. I just pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff with which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And you know, remember that, and obviously, and we know, we've all heard it before, the objections to God and to the Word of God is, you know, I can't believe in a God that's going to judge, you know, judge people that and punish people. And we're going to see that God reigns and He's sovereign and He allows mankind to make the decision for themselves. The warning has been given. And each and every one of us has a choice. Will we, receive God's grace? Will we accept what God's plan was to redeem us to Himself, or will we reject it? And in rejecting it, that is bringing condemnation and judgment upon oneself. And so it's not really God. God is sovereign, but He does not encroach on our freedom to choose, our free will. It's a mystery. God could stop everything, but that wasn't His plan. God could stop evil from happening. God can stop a lot of these things that are going on, but He allows them so that we know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is evil, and that God desires that we are with Him. And so I'm getting kind of ahead of myself just considering that. So just go, and a lot of that will come out in Psalm 93, but also Psalm 92. Psalm 92 was a song for the Sabbath day. It was sung on the Sabbath day. It was also a psalm that they sang on the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the theme of it, this psalm, is it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. And it really, what we should be asking ourselves, what are we thankful for? What are we thankful for this evening? What are you thankful for? And if we went around, we'd all be thankful for different things because of what God has done in our lives and how He's blessed us, and He's blessed us all in different ways. So, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High. I think there's no higher calling for you and for me that after we've received salvation and have been born again of the Holy Spirit, there's no higher calling than to sing praises to God, to praise Him and be thankful to Him. You know, and if you're like me, I'm a complainer. I grumble to God more than I probably should. What a blessing, what a privilege it is to come before the Lord and praise Him with thanksgiving. When we look at the world today and the blindness of those that are walking, it says they're groping in the dark. God says there's no hope coming from this world, and we should be so grateful that God has revealed Himself to us, and God desires to reveal Himself to everybody. But it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High. In Luke chapter 17. Starting at verse 11, when it happened, as He went to Jerusalem, He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered a village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when He saw them, He said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And so in the law, if anybody were to be cleansed from leprosy, they were to go to the priest, they were to show themselves to the priest, and then the priest would observe them, put them off the side, observe them for 7 days, And if in fact they were, had been cleansed, there was no leprosy in their on their body, and they were no longer infectious, then they would go through the ceremonial cleansing and be received back into back into society. Interesting, there's no evidence of this ever being observed by the priesthood, cleansing from leprosy. Yet Jesus tells them, this is what the law says, you go do it. And it says, while they were on their way, they were cleansed. And they recognized that they were cleansed. And it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. Very interesting. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? The 9 continued on, right? According to the law. Yet this one came back with a heart of praise and with a heart of thanksgiving to the Lord, recognizing that he had been healed not because of his observance of the law, but because of the grace of God. He was touched by God. And he came back, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And I'm not talking about, you know, crazy power healing type of stuff, but there is, I believe, a spiritual healing. There's a spiritual component of coming. And when we, you know, we just got done with a time where we get to praise the Lord and give him thanks. And I believe that there's spiritual healing in that, certainly, and recognizing that it's for him and singing praise to him and opening our hearts to him and being grateful, regardless of what went on during the day. Actually, it probably will heal us to some of the challenges from some of the challenges and the things that went on during the day. Get our hearts and our minds off of the circumstances and on the one who is the Lord over the circumstances, you know, and he can heal us. He can heal us at any time that he wants to, if we just give him the praise and the glory that he deserves. And he says to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And the more I'm in the Psalms, the more I'm in God's Word, the more I recognize that I need to be more consistent with this. And I love the mornings when I wake up and God just puts a song on my heart and I'm just grateful for the day and looking for, you know, just and praising Him. But how often do we get up? And some of us are great risers, right? Some of us are joyful risers. And other ones, until, you know, the fog wears off, and you have the fog clear, and you get your coffee going, and sit down with your cup of coffee, you're really not pleasant to be around, and get the day. But what this is talking about is what we look forward to when we wake up. But we often get up, and the first thing that's on our mind is the busyness of the day, or the busyness of the day, the trials or troubles that may be ahead of us for the day, right? And that's the wrong way to start the day. And I find that those days are usually rough days. And, you know, and then you end the day thinking about all the things that you just went through. But when you start the day being thankful to the Lord, understanding that, you know what, I'm alive. That should be the first thing we're thankful for, right? I'm alive today to be used by you, you know, and whatever may come during the day, I'm just going to trust in you. That's the way to start out the day. We don't always do that. And those days are rough days. Part of, you know, as the Lord called me into ministry in so many of the early years, there were a lot of rough days that I had to learn that starting it out, and this is beyond our devotional time and stuff. I mean, starting the day out recognizing that God is the Lord of the day, and he has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me for the day. And then facing whatever is going to happen that day, right? From that perspective, being thankful to the Lord. Because he rules our day. He does. And he's going to allow what he's going to allow, and he's going to take authority over what he's going to take authority on our behalf, right? And it says, and your faithfulness every night, looking back on the day and recognizing that he's gotten us through. Still alive, right? Alive when we get up, alive when we go to bed. It's a right perspective that I believe the older we get, the longer we walk with the Lord, the better we get at organizing our day according to these truths. Blessed is the man who meditates on God's word day and night, that wakes up giving thanks, that goes to bed thanking him for his faithfulness, seeing his hand in everything that happened throughout the day. Right? We can go to bed, and how many of us have restless nights because we go to bed thinking about or concerned about the things that happened during the day that may not have been resolved, or that may be bringing new problems possibly tomorrow, instead of just saying, Lord, you are faithful today. Thank you, and I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to praise you, and you're going to be faithful again. There's just simple truths to this that we tend to make harder, right? And so I just like it. You know, it's good to give thanks, sing praises to the Lord, declare his loving kindness, his goodness, his blessings in the morning, to be thankful, and his faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. And certainly David, the one that set up the temple worship, or the tabernacle worship that would become the temple worship, very important. All instruments are fine if they're played for the Lord. There are, look, cymbals were percussion instruments. Yet we have factions of the church that consider drums the devil's instrument, which is just not, it's just ridiculous, right? All things can be used for good or evil. In and of itself, there's nothing evil about an innate thing, right? Other than what it's being used for. But all the instruments, man, I mean, what a blessing. What a blessing to have a team of people that are dedicated to come in and lead us before the Lord. It's my favorite time, honestly, because it's God-directed. Now, certainly I love also the Word of God and the Word of God going out, because that's God focusing on us and speaking to us through his word. Always remember that. But what a blessing to be able to come in and worship with our brothers and sisters. For you, Lord, have made me glad. Now it's good to give thanks. What a blessing it is to come in and praise him. And now here are some of the reasons why. And this is what should happen when we have hearts of thanksgiving and we're praising the Lord. It should make us glad, right? He says, you have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. I will triumph. What a reminder that we've won. We may have lost out in the world today, or it may seem like you lost out in the world today. But isn't that something that should always come to the forefront when we're with him and refocusing on him? We triumphed. We're victorious in Jesus Christ. Just always remember that. The world's going to want to drag you down. You know, I talk a lot about what's going on in the world. We see the wickedness, the evil. We see man chasing after these vain things, authority over others. And we can be concerned. We can start to become worried about those things. And we shouldn't be. Yes, it's important to vote. Yes, it's important to want righteousness or rightness to reign in our country. Yet it shouldn't move us. It shouldn't cause agitation or frustration, anxiety, when that's not what happened. And I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of miffed by what this country thinks is a statesman and a leader, especially right now. And it affected me, for sure. I can't believe man can be so stupid. Yet it shouldn't bring us to those points of anxiety and everything else, because God's allowing it, and ultimately he does allow man to a certain extent to have what he chooses. And so we see that coming true all around us. O Lord, how great are your works. Here he's talking about God's work and his works. All, and what are his works? Well, his works were Genesis chapter 1, the 7 days of creation, right? Those are his great works. It's an action. It's the word ma'aseh. Ma'aseh, it's things that are made. It's his business. It was a transaction, an action of God. The work of God was to make, to create the worlds and everything. And the worlds are awesome, right? Have you ever just sat and changed your perspective looking at all that God has created? When it snows, I like when it snows because it makes a real dank and barren picture, very beautiful, even when it destroys all of your trees and bushes and the cedars. But it's beautiful. And now, Art and I were just walking out here and just looking at the green, the leaves coming back on. It makes me glad, and it just to see the beauty of what God has created. And so those are the works of God. It's from the root that is to do or make something that he has performed or prepared or provided. It talks of sacrifice and service. And when we think of the works of God and the creation of God, did you know that God outdid himself and outdid his creation? The work that he did redeeming man to himself is a greater work, I believe, than his creation itself, because it's a new creation. He has overcome sin, he has overcome death, the things that plague us, that plague you and me. He has redeemed us. He has provided a way. He has prepared a way that we might be reconciled back to him, and that we might understand and know our beyond our temporal being, our temporal awareness, what we were truly created for, and that's eternal. Because in his creation, that was God's plan in the garden. Adam and Eve could have lived forever, I believe, in the garden. When you really follow through the understanding of how God created us in his image, to walk with God in the cool of the day. And we gave that up. But God, he came out of heaven and out of glory. He sent his only Son. How much greater? The Creator, the Word of God that created all things, came out of eternity into our temporal world to redeem us. so that we might know him and be a new creation, to undo what sin and death has done to his creation, so that we might be reconciled with him forever. Just amazing, God's works. Those are the works of God. Creation and new creation. Salvation through Jesus Christ. And so, a senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass and all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Oh, I can't believe that God would destroy everybody. Look, that's not God's choice. God came out of eternity to change that so that we might all have the opportunity to know him and to be returned to our original purpose in God creating us. Yet those that have rebelled and choose to reject it will ultimately face destruction. It is their choice, not God's. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, my strength, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. And no, God's going to take care of those things. We don't need to throw ourselves into the ring. I'm not the most righteous person throughout the day often. And my eye has also seen my desire on the enemies of God. Unfortunately, it's often me thinking about how my hand can help God take care of it, right? Instead of focusing on what God has called me to, and that is to tell people of the good news and leave the decision up to them. You know, God ultimately is going to carry these things out. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar tree or cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing and green. You know, and in light of everything that's going on right now, you think about the palm trees. And of course, back then, in Israel, it's date palms. But what are the most sturdy trees that there are on the planet? Denny?
Ironwood.
Well, did they have ironwood in the Middle East back then? Well, nope. So they had the palm trees and the cedars, which the mighty cedars. A little bit different than the cedars that are here. But when you think of palm trees, what are usually the trees that survive and are still standing after hurricanes and everything, right? You know, this idea that those that are planted in God and in the Word of God and have this understanding that God is going to take care of everything and he's going to take care of his people. He's going to see us through. We can be thankful every morning and of his faithfulness throughout the day and be thankful for his faithfulness at night, right? Understanding this, we're like those that, look, there's a war going on. This is good versus evil, right? It's tumultuous, our society and our culture right now. Yet we're like the palms. Bend that don't break, right? What did Pastor Chuck? Pastor Chuck has his own beatitude. He said, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break." But that flexibility comes from abiding in him and knowing him and knowing his faithfulness and understanding, right? Starting the days out, being thankful and saying, "Lord, bless me throughout the day and see us through." Having the proper perspective, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, green. to declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And that's really, that's life. And as you look, we're all getting older. That we should be speaking life, not death, right? Our lives should become more life-giving or life-inspiring than death-inspiring. Does that make sense? I mean, to the Lord, I always use the Kurds, and sorry, but you're what an example they are. Somebody that's lived life this long, you spend any time with them, look, they exude what God has done in their lives and the faithfulness of God. And that, you know, in the language of the Psalms is a life that is flourishing. As we get older, our life should flourish and we should be green and refreshing, right, to others that are around us. As, you know, that understanding grows, as we get better at starting the day not concerned about everything of the day, but starting the day giving thanks to the Lord that He's going to see us through, and then looking back, not on the things that went wrong and everything else, but God got us through. So important. All right, enough about that. Well, maybe not enough about that. Because God's challenging me and maybe challenging you that to become more consistent in those things. Because there's days I wake up and I know there's something that I don't want to do. And instead of focusing on the Lord, right, and being thankful, I focus on how am I going to manipulate the situation? How am I going to get through the situation? Is there any way to avoid the situation? Yeah, and those that are laughing know exactly what I'm talking about, right? But to start the day, Lord, I just want to thank You and praise You for the day. I know You're going to get me through whatever will be. Have you ever noticed when you approach the circumstances of the day, something that's coming up with that, when you start that way, that when you come to that circumstance, it doesn't work out the way that you were worried that it was going to work out or that you thought you had to, because God's already gone ahead and He's taking care of it, right? There's some good wisdom in Psalm 92 to begin the day and end the day. Psalm 93. The theme of Psalm 93 is the first three words. The Lord reigns. And we sing that song. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded Himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. This understanding, and we don't always, I don't always believe that, but it's just true. And when we look at what's going on in the world today, when we look at global governance, our local, everything is, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And we wonder, how, Lord, are they getting away with this? How are You allowing this? And we all think that, you know, Lord, You could have done this. You could have stopped this. But it doesn't change the fact that the Lord reigns. He reigns. He is over His creation. The truth of the matter is, God allowed Satan to rebel. That was Satan's choice. And God allows man to rebel because that's man's choice. God reigns, but He reigns with a certain amount of tolerance or allowance, because He will not encroach on your and my free will. That's just the truth of the matter. He will do everything else under heaven and earth to make, right? To make himself known. But our decision, our choices are our choices. And sometimes it doesn't seem like that's God reigning. Because the other side of that would be, if he were to make all the decisions for us, there would be then we'd all be robots, right? We wouldn't have any free choice. We would just be like AI is going to end up being. And the purpose that God has given us free will is because God is love and he loves us. And love demands a response. And it's through the relationship that he desires with you and me that he wants to relay that love and wants our response to that love. Otherwise, it's not love. If he were to make all the decisions for us, if he were just to intervene and make everything right, perfect and good, then that wouldn't be love. But he reigns regardless of what's going on in the world. That's just an altruism. It's a fact. And we need to remember that he reigns. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. You know, God's throne is above all thrones, and that's what the scriptures say. We need to understand that the most destructive force, I believe, when you look at nature, now we know we have hurricanes and stuff like that, the most destructive force on earth is water, especially when it's flooding. But it doesn't even need to be flooding. What is the rule of water? It always wins. It'll get anywhere, right? And you know, so this, we're looking at the voice of many waters, this the destructive force, and really it's the raging of the nations and the raging of the world, shaking their fist at God. You know, we're going to see that, you know, they think that God doesn't care. God just created everything. Most of them don't even believe that God created. But those that may even give a thought to it, that God created and just left us all to figure it out for ourselves. He doesn't care. He's not watching. We're going to get away with whatever we want to get away with. Sometimes I think that way, right? Not that he doesn't care, but I don't consider that he's always watching. He always sees. The noise of many waters. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. But, you know, everything that's going on in the world, always, we need to look at it in the terms of God's on the throne. He reigns, right? We shouldn't be afraid or fear what's going on. Anxiety, frustration. We shouldn't give in to those things because everything will work out according to God's perfect plan. It's coming to a head, right? And so, as I was saying, what a privilege it is to be alive during these times. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, and vengeance. That's another argument of the world. They can't believe in a God that would have vengeance upon man, a vengeance on, you know. Look, and vengeance isn't for you and me. What does the scripture say? Vengeance belongs to Pastor Bill. Huh? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord of hosts. And that word vengeance, it speaks of punishment. There is punishment to come for those who rebel against God. And he says, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? And it's only for God. I often think how satisfying it would be if God handed the scepter over for a little bit. We think those thoughts. We all do. I'd put a stop to this right now. I put a stop to that right now. Here's the thing. The Bible says that we're to repay evil with evil. No, we're to overcome evil with good. Right? We're not to repay vengeance. Vengeance isn't ours. We're to repay evil with good. We're to be good to those. Here's the reason why. Only God exercises judgment rightly. You and I do not. And they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. All you have to do is just hang out with people out in the world today. And the things that they say, the lives that they're living, there is absolutely no acknowledgement of God. I mean, I just at my niece's wedding, and I love my niece. I love my family. The people, they were neat people. But just the things coming out of their mouth, it saddens me. And part of this is because I know what God has delivered me from, and I'm watching so many who may even profess a kind of faith, right? But living in insolence, living in ignorance of what God has done for them, and watching them, they're perishing. It's hard to watch. It's hard to sit around and listen to the things that come out of their mouth. It's not just that. How often it happens? Oh, you're a pastor? And all of a sudden they change how they talk. You know, that shouldn't change how you act or what you say. What should change how you act and what you say is that God is watching and God is judging. And He loves you and He has a message for you that you're going to die in your sin. You're going to die living that way. But that's not what He desires for you. And He didn't desire for me. And somebody, well, I was raised in the gospel. You want to know, I'll tell you. When it pricked my heart, when it really broke my heart, I remember when I was in college, I was a nut. I was a hot mess. I don't even know how I accomplished what I accomplished in college. Because other things were more important to me. The things that happened after school and after games and stuff like that. But I remember one summer in the condo, there was a young lady that was probably 2 years ahead of me, I think, at the high school that I went to. Turns out she was living in the condos that we were living in, my roommates and I. And I was walking through the courtyard, and I saw her. I said, hey, how's it going? And she looked at me. She goes, Bill, are you okay? It was starting to show itself physically. And that just... And it was like God was speaking to me through her. You know, and it turns out she was a Christian, and that was somebody speaking the gospel to me. Bill, God knows. You know, she hadn't seen me for years. Are you okay? And this is in the height of I'm thinking I'm in great shape and everything else, but it started to wear on me even back then. Somebody willing to say something in love. And that's what we're called to when we're around those that are boastful and insolent and not understanding, you know, what their end is going to be. Speaking the truth of God in love, it's the only thing that's going to change them. Arguing with them about their ideologies, political ideologies, and all these other things, it's going to go nowhere. I'm learning because I'm worse than all of you. Because remember, God's plan was that man, that you and I be governed by God, the original governance. And he's on the throne, and people need to understand and turn their hearts back to that understanding. He's on the throne. I don't care what you're, well, I do, but that's not what we're to lead with. We're to lead with what God thinks, right? And what God has done, and that God loves them. But it's heartbreaking to be around and watching people and to hear the things that are coming out of their mouth. They slay the widow and stranger and murder the fatherless, yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. He's not paying attention. He's not watching any of this. He's not watching our governor sign bills to kill babies, or Bill Gates spending billions of dollars to pump poison into people. But he is. And they're not going to get away with it. And it's not just them, right? It seems like evil and wickedness are prevailing. But they're not. God's allowing it because he's allowing it so that when he does judge, he does judge rightly. They'll be without excuse. I've warned you and I've warned you and I've warned you and I've warned you. I sent, you know, Pam, I sent Tim, I sent James, I sent somebody to tell you about how much I love you. And you chose to play ignorance, right? Understand, you senseless among the people and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? You think about hearing. I actually kind of lost my hearing for a little bit because I compacted some stuff in there, and so I went and got the stuff that cleans it out today, and my hearing came back, and it's amazing. I didn't even consider it, and I'm sitting here reading it going, you just think of the complexity of hearing. David, I know. I mean, you understand it probably better than any of us, right? God has created organs that pick up vibrations and that is able then to send it to our brain and compute what those vibrations are. Just the complexity of it. Now, many of the wicked and those things that are pulling these, you know, those people that are doing the things that are doing, many of them claim to not even believe there is a God. But those that might acknowledge it, don't even, you know, what the psalmist is saying is, do you think God created things that are above him? You don't think he can hear what's going on or see what's going on? He created the ears. He created the eyes. The eyes, just read about the eyes. Cones, this, that, you know, billions. It's really innumerable amount of colors and combinations and everything else that your eye is able to capture and compute that to your brain and make a picture, and not only make a picture, Stevie, you need to sit down and be quiet. I'm sorry if you're watching from home. But and not only that, but capture it, put it in its into memory, recall it, all of these things. And man thinks that God doesn't see what's going on. He's not hearing what they're saying. He's not watching what's going on. You know, the idea, like, Pastor Ken says, you know, people come up with these dumb ideas. Can God make a rock so big that even he can't lift it? I mean, that's stupid. Everything God has created, he is greater than. He's greater than. And so, and there are people that live, he who planted the earth, shall he, you don't think he's hearing you or he's seeing what's going on? He sees everything that's going on. He sees everything that's going on in our own lives. He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. He is knowledge. He is wisdom. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. And it's interesting because at Babel, God looked upon man as he was building this his little building there, and he said, they may be able to pull off anything that they put their mind to, and so I need to confuse them. And understand this, man will never be able to create anything, bara, create from nothing. But look where man has come and how he has been able to manipulate what God has given us in creation, right? Artificial intelligence. Unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. I sit around and I think, I go back to the radio. How did they figure out that you could pull waves out of the air, suck it into a box, put it through a bunch of electrical stuff and throw it out of a speaker? Oh. And they think they're smarter than God. They're going to find out otherwise. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest, and that is relief from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake or abandon his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. He's given us his word, and he instructs us. I mean, we're going to get to Psalm 119 at one point, and it's just, oh, Lord, how I love your law, how I love your word, how I love your precepts. The Ten Commandments are beautiful if you consider what God is trying to keep us from doing, right? The things that are wrong. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties, within me your comforts delight my soul. In the multitude of my anxieties. And that's really all it is, right? When we watch what's going on and we start getting frustrated and we want God to change things, or we want people to get it, right? That what they're doing is wrong, and that it's in God's eyes, it's evil, it's wicked. They think it's good. It just causes anxieties. Yet God's comfort should delight our souls. It's going to get worse. And if we truly have been chosen, if God in his wisdom has chosen us to be here at this time, knowing what's coming, right? It's going to get worse, but it'll never be as bad as it's going to be during the time of tribulation. When God pours out his wrath before judgment comes, it's going to get real bad. God has comforted us in knowing this, that when it gets to that point, he is able to keep us from that time, because he's promised us that he is going to come and he's going to take us away to be with him during that time, during the wedding feast, the rapture of the church. And we don't, so that should calm our anxieties. But we should also be realistic, knowing, and I was just sitting around in the church, I mean, you know, here in my office and praying today, and, you know, Lord, what's to come? Will I be challenged in what you've called me to do as a to teach his word? Will I be challenged? Is somebody going to show up at the door here and tell me what I can and cannot do? Are they just going to show up? And, you know, what's coming, Lord? But the comfort comes from this. It doesn't matter. Because He has a plan for all those that love Him. We need to live with that understanding of what the Scriptures say and the belief that He is able to keep us from the wrath that's to come. That is meant for those that are in rebellion, that have chosen to reject Him. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? A lot of thoughts come to mind with that. The churches that allow the throne of iniquity and those... I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit has control of my tongue very, very often. Because when man legislates evil and people... And I can't tell you how many times, but it's legal. Just because man's passed a law and says that it's legal doesn't mean that it's right in God's eyes. But that's the attitude and the temperature of our society today. But it's legal. Man makes what is wicked and evil in God's sight legal, and people accept that as meaning that it's good, it's okay. It's not okay, right? And He often holds my tongue when I answer. Just because it's been legalized doesn't make it right. They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Ultimately, they're going to be destroyed for their decision. Their decision. God isn't going to do it to them. God is going to judge sin. He's going to judge unrighteousness and wickedness because He's righteous. And He's right. And it's amazing that we get to live during this time. It, just something I was praying about and you need to pray about. The anxieties that are caused. And I know because we all talk. What's going on in this world causes anxiety. I get anxieties from it, to be honest. But it shouldn't. We should actually, and if we start our day right, if we start our days right, being thankful to the Lord and end our days looking back upon how His faithfulness and trusting in Him, knowing that He has promised us that when these things, when the wheels fall off, He's got a vehicle for us. It's a one-way ticket into His presence for the consummation of His church. You know, the wild thing is when you read the Scriptures, it says that we are the bride of Christ. He has gone to prepare a place for us that where He is, we may be with Him also. He's waiting for the Father because only the Father knows the time, that's what the Scripture says, to tell Him to come and get His bride. Here's how sure I am of the rapture, because it fits with the Scripture so perfectly. There is going to be a seven-year period, that's 7 days, the 70th week of Daniel, that tribulation comes upon this earth, and the church is going to be at the wedding feast. The wedding feast is the consummation when the bridegroom gets his bride. They go in and they close the door. Nobody else can get in that was invited. If they don't make it when the bride and the groom enter in, the door is closed and they feast for 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, the groom goes out and proclaims that he has, the consummation is over, that they are married. He has a wife. When you read Revelation, in I believe it's in 19, might be 19 or 20, it says that the church is then called his wife when he comes back to rule and to reign. That's how sure I am. And how comforted we should be that no matter how bad it gets, it's going to be bad for them, and we need to warn them. But he has a plan for us as we soberly and vigilantly await his return, just as the bride would await for the bridegroom to come and take her away to the wedding feast. That's what we're waiting for. So if there's, you came in with any anxieties, let the anxieties go. They're going to get what they're asking for. Lord, I just pray that you would, I pray tonight, Lord, as we lay down our heads, that we would be completely focused on your faithfulness throughout this day, no matter what happened. Lord, we get to lay down our head in peace, knowing that you also hold tomorrow. We don't need to be concerned about those things. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would wake up in the morning refreshed. And the first thing on our lips, Lord, is thanksgiving. And the first thing on our heart is praise. That you're the Lord of the day. And you're our refuge and our protector in the night, Lord. And if we should be blessed to take a breath, Lord, we lay our days at your feet and ask us that you would use us for your glory until, Lord, you return. And so we just want to take this time as we consider and introspection, examine ourselves, Lord. Do we believe what we believe? Lord, are we thankful? What are we thankful for? Lord, are we thankful for relationship with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior, as we come to the communion table, Lord, and remember all that you have done. And let all the things that are going on in the world and around us just fade away, even right now, and so that we can just focus on you and be thankful for your faithfulness today, we pray. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.